Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
Yeah, I'm putting together a show, and I need a star.
You want people to laugh at me?
Well, they're laughing anyway, kid, so might as well get paid.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales, the week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes, all on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
Strength, fearless, climbing, speed, boomerang, smoldering intensity.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
The Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. Today, hanging out with our friends at Sound Sleep Medical.
Absolutely.
So here we are. And we're kind of back at the mothership. You know, we were over in
the sister ship
in Murray for a while. Yeah. And we traditionally do this broadcast from Sandy. We are back. They did a few little renovations and so on here. So
Oh, yeah. We
are back. Well, hey, we got a plethora of things to talk about on the movie show today, Steve. So we probably ought to get to the movie show preview. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
The big movie of the week. Missing. I missed... the actual screening, so Dee and I went to see it last night. And I have to tell you, you know, I saw the previews, as everybody did, and I thought, oh, yeah, this is going to be one of the... But it was more intriguing than I thought, so we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, do you remember the movie Searching that came out a couple years ago? This is a lot more twisty than that one was.
A lot more twisty on this one. And, you know, I've been really pleased with some of the things that I thought either it's going to be something I've kind of seen before... And this has elements that we've seen before, but wow. But it takes you into a different place in a different way, which I really appreciated. I was genuinely surprised by this movie.
You know what blew me away was the amount of things that you can actually do on the internet that I had no idea.
Well, so, and I sit there like a total dweeb, you know. I just
like,
going,
you can do that?
Can you do, yeah. Can you do that, really? Really?
Yeah, those things are
man.
Real.
I know, and the way you can kind of reverse things if you just kind of know the back door and holy smoke, I never feel safe again, Stephen.
Yeah.
Holy cow. All right, so we're going to review Missing. We're going to talk about The Sun, Alice Darling, and When You Finish Saving the World, and then we've got some streaming things to get into as well.
Which, by the way, is the best thing out this week. The Last of Us is unbelievable.
It's a good one, huh? Okay. And then, of course, we've got to focus in a little bit on Sundance Film Festival. We'll be talking with the senior programmer for Sundance.
Huh?
Yeah, John Dine will be joining us here on the movie show. Let's see, movie news, of course, a lot of movie news out there. I think Dee is going to deign to join us today with her, you know, again, it, you know, 3 years ago we were calling it the quarantine picks of the week, but the quirky picks of the week. We've also got the movie show top 10. We have telephone torture with a plethora of prizes. Door number one, door number two, and door number three. Do you want to hear what they are?
Valentine dinner.
All-inclusive Megaplex Theater's Valentine's date night. Much more than a dinner, Stephen.
Oh,
much more than a dinner. This is
my head.
Date night. Yeah, gourmet dinner, buffet for two, Megaplex movie tickets.
At only three locations,
the
though,
popcorn,
right?
Yeah, Jordan Commons, the District, and Valley Fair. So that's going to be happening. Also, the new Platinum X movie experience. For those that are down in the Thanksgiving Point area, you'll be able to experience that new system of viewing movies with your popcorn and your four large drinks. And then we've got the traditional telephone torture prize package. So that will be coming up on Telephone Torture. So we have a bunch of stuff to be talking about on the program today. All right, Stephen, I think actually we probably ought to take a brief respite here. And then we'll come back, we'll talk with Melissa, and then we'll review the big movie of the week.
Well, you're pretty much all we'll be done by 11. Keep this
really?
Up. Yeah.
Well, you know. But we have, what will we do in hour number three?
I think the people would joy.
Sing a few tunes.
We would hear we'll do, singing in the streets.
Steve and I will be doing show tunes.
Oh, don't threaten them.
No, this show is a threat in and of itself. All right, let's take a break. It's 9-11 here at KSL News Radio.
I'm calling about a guest you had.
Espere, no habla español.
Does anyone speak English?
I'm sorry.
This is Elijah Park.
Please, I need your help.
The FBI doesn't have jurisdiction to investigate in Colombia.
So is there anything I can do?
The best thing you can do to help us is just wait by your phone.
Ah, is, you know, our listeners were deprived of the big time announcer doing the introduction to the big movie of the week, and for that
wakes them up.
That's right.
What was that?
Oh, what are these guys going to talk about? You know, I was surprised. I've had an interesting week with a little eye dilemma, and so I've not watched a lot of things. But Dee and I snuck off last night and went and bought our tickets and saw this movie, and I was really pleasantly surprised. I thought this is just going to be one of those doesn't make sense, you know, but you white knuckle and you think of all the pain and agony you go through and you go, yeah, it was a thriller, but was it worth it? This one's worth it. I really like this movie.
The only thing I thought about was, as good as it is, it's really detailed as far as the efforts that somebody went to. And I thought, I don't think they're smart enough to pull this off.
I'll tell you, it is intricate because it has channels and where you're following it, and you go, you're pretty sure what's going on here from the very beginning. But it ends up maybe not quite being what you thought.
Oh, no. There's so many red herrings in this movie. Yeah. They should start open a fish market because this thing is, they're flying everywhere.
You know, and there's a real interesting, I thought, kind of fun part where this young woman, and she believes that her mother has gone off with her new boyfriend, and they've gone off to Cartagena. They're down in Colombia.
Sure, I'd go there for a vacation, but
okay. Yeah, but you know, it's a beautiful country. We had neighbors that were from Colombia, and holy smoke, you know, and they're down there, and but these photos keep showing up. There she is on the plane, and there she is, you know, they're here, and even something happening on the bridge where all the locks are and things like
that. Did they steal that from Paris?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, remember, in Paris, they started having a problem. There was so much weight.
Yeah.
There was so much weight on that bridge with those locks. So anyway, but then she notices maybe something's wrong here. Her mother stops communicating with her, and she just freaks out. So this, I thought, was a really cute part, but it worked. You know, it wasn't just thrown in for effect. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he's the investigator. And she's got a limited budget, and she looks on the Internet, of course. Everything's happening on the computer.
Yeah.
We've seen him as a bad guy in a lot of movies.
De Almeida is his last name, but I can't remember his first name.
But he, you know, she's looking at the Google reviews on him or Yelp or whatever it was, and he's got a fairly low rating, you know. But she can afford him. He's $8
an hour,
hour
yeah.
Right. And he ends up being kind of a sweet man who kind of takes an interest in her and does what he does is the legwork on that end, because she knows that there are cameras there on the hotel where her mother stayed,
right,
or allegedly stayed. We don't know at this point. And then there are other things. And so she tracks it down, and he's kind of her eyes and ears and feet in Cartagena.
Yeah. And I thought that was
a nice touch. Was a nice touch. So that brought a real human element into it. And, you know, Steve, I'd like to watch the movie again and just kind of clock how much of the time is actually the big screen is simply the small screen of her computer or
right.
other computers. And you think of that, and for those of us, you know, somebody explained kind of the new digital world to me brilliantly years ago. He said, there are those that are still in the old country. They just refuse to deal with it. There are those who have migrated into it and speak on the digital world with a considerable accent. And then there are those that are natural-born citizens. And that is I am somebody who migrated into it.
Our kids and grandkids. Yeah.
I on the computer, I speak with a real accent from the old analog world. But my kids, they're in a whole different deal. To see what the people that are natural born citizens of digital age, what they can do, what they understand, how they think in that digital way, that you and I go, I never would have thought of that in a million years.
Well, just some of the things, like she throws a party. She's supposed to go pick up her mom at the airport.
Yeah.
And she wakes up, and the place is a disaster because she's thrown this rabbit. She texts this thing called, I think it's task rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a real thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Where you text them like, hey, can you come clean my house? And, you know, you got to do it now. And they go, yeah, on our way.
Like, I know.
What?
It is incredible. And to plan the party, she kind of goes to the equivalent of Raves R Us. And, you know, it's crazy. And then somebody leaves behind a digital watch. All of a sudden, that's a tool for her. You know, it's just somebody just left it behind. I kept wondering, well, is this leading to a bat? No, it was just another tool she used.
Yeah.
And anybody's computers tying things together. So, again, for, you know, one foot in the analog world, one foot in the digital world, for me, I was just flabbergasted. I'm sure a lot of the younger folks who are going to watch this, those that are natural-born digital citizens, they're just going, wow, this, yeah, that, I would have done that too.
Now, if you saw Searching a couple of years ago with John Cho, this is ramped up version of that. I thought even better, story-wise,
right.
Even better than his, even though that was pretty decent. I ended up giving this a B+.
Yeah. I'm on the same page. I'm 3.5 stars. I like this movie a lot, and I like the way it made me think. I like the way it surprised me. I like the things I went, you could do that?
But it does make you, you're really having to peruse the entire screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's something might be in the lower corner that just is a hint to something. You're like, oh, wait. That refers to
that refers to this, and that refers to that.
So it does require a little bit of work, but
and Nia Long is in the movie, but not a whole lot. But when she is, wow, she's a forceful presence. Yeah. Storm Reid, who plays Junebug,
remember she was the young girl in the Oprah Winfrey movie. Wrinkle in Time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, as we mentioned, the guy down in Cartagena. And again, we've seen him in all kinds of movies, and he usually plays a dapper, you know, South
Although
American.
Although he was a bad guy in the El Mariachi movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he's been a bad guy in several movies, you know, where as a matter of fact, it was kind of a dating situation, too. Where the woman, he's just gleaning her for Washington, D.C. secrets in that movie. And you'd think I could remember the guy's name. But anyway, so Steve and I are on the same page on it. This is beginning to make me nervous. We've actually agreed on several movies lately. What's wrong with you?
It's okay, Blind Squirrel.
No. Well, actually, this week I can't even argue with that. Squirrel, I can argue with.
Blind Squirrel, no.
I can't argue with. All right. The big movie review. It is simply called Missing.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, you know, often.
It's better than you think it's going to be.
It's better than you think it would be. And, I mean, the trailer's appealing. But, you know, often I'll go, oh, well, that was kind of a misrepresentation. Well, this was a misrepresentation only in that this is a much better movie than even the trailer.
Normally trailers are better, but not this time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Missing, and it's rated PG-13. What's the release on this?
It's wide. It's at least 3,500 screens.
Yeah, when you get into the mid, 35, and then sometimes they'll nudge up to 42. That's a huge. And so, yeah, this is a good rip, and it's a fun movie. You'll enjoy it.
Fun.
Well, it's
almost a whodunit kind of.
It is it's a thriller, and it there are times when you're just holding your breath, and the timing factor where the clock is just ticking. I mean, how long is the battery going to last? How long is this connection going to stay? How long until they notice that this person is doing that and the screen goes?
And you're
blank.
Like going, bad guy. No, wait. No, definitely bad guy.
Definitely
no, hold on.
Maybe not.
I like that part of it.
All right. It is 9:28 here at KSL News Radio. We want to remind you again that we have a special guest who is coming up and the senior programmer for Sundance. And we'll get a little update on what is happening and movie news. Some interesting things today in movie news. We'll have to compare notes and see what else we've got, so we're not doubling up on some of the stories.
By the way, at the premiere last night, which I was not able to attend, the room was ecstatic. They were just happy to be together again and just joy.
Yeah, this is the first year that Sundance is, quote-unquote, back to what we can perceive as normal.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, normal is never normal.
And they were all the volunteers saying, welcome back, and people like, we're so happy to be here.
Yeah. Isn't that something when you've kind of been – you know, you're trying to make do, you know, out in the cold for a while, and it's still kind of going along. It's in a hybrid form. It's kind of, well, we'll make this happen one way or the other. But then to have it kind of come back full circle, this is a good day, good Sundance. Yeah. And I wonder, have you heard anything about the attendance or anything? Well,
I hear it's massive. I mean, everybody's back. They're having a good time.
Well, and you know what else is so cool is that we have such an epicenter of Sundance in Salt Lake once again.
Yeah.
And it's the whole gateway. I mean, the Gateway Theater Complex of Megaplex. And why not? It's right in the heart of, yeah, it's not Park City, but it's Salt Lake City, where a good number of the participants are. And then also talk about state of the art, exactly. Brand new. Holy cow.
People are going to experience what a movie should look like,
yeah,
on the best equipment that is possible.
Absolutely. It is time, Stephen, for some movie news. Here we go.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel. The biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
Already on the program today, the big movie review of the week. We talked about how Missing kind of surprised us both at how good it actually was.
Missing hits the mark.
Missing hits the mark and does not miss.
Exactly.
Or something weird like that. We ought to be working for Hollywood and making the big bucks with the kind of brilliance that you get on this show.
I heard you're going to be talking about Megan, and
yeah,
they have greenlit, but somebody said they should call it M again.
M again. Ooh, I like that. For Megan is another movie that surprised us. That was kind of that elongated lead-in I just had. I went to Megan kind of dreading it, to tell you the truth. I thought it was going to be another one of those weird doll movies that's around. And it wasn't.
No.
It's much smarter than that. The sequel to Megan has not only have the official title, it's got a release date now. It's going to be Megan, spelled, of course, with the 3 there instead of the E. That's becoming quite the vogue lately. Megan 2.0 is the title.
Megan, that's the title.
Megan, I know. And the actual release date is about 2 years from right now, January 17th of 2025. Come and this on. Should not be a big surprise to anybody who just looks at the dollars. Don't even look at the film. Just look at the dollars that the film has generated. It had a modest budget, about $12 million. To date, it has grossed more than $91 million. I mean, that's not a bad return on the money.
Yeah, I got it at 97 as of yesterday, so it's doing really well.
So there you go.
All right. Well, they've started. Well, they'll be filming Tron 3 will begin this summer.
Our friend Michael is going to be twirling.
Oh, I'm sure he already knows. He probably got
he probably knew 5 years ago.
He saw the smoke in the sky.
That's right.
So, yes, they're going to start Tron 3 this summer. Jared Leto is going to play the lead. The other director bailed out, so that's why there's been a delay. But Joaquin Roning, who did Pirates, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, and he's got a new movie coming up called Young Woman and the Sea with Daisy Ridley.
Wow.
So he's going to be directing, and they don't have, obviously, a release date, but it will actually be happening this summer. They'll start filming.
Why, Stephen, is Hugh Jackman working up to eating 6,000 calories a day when the average American male should be around 2,500?
Because he's working out to become Wolverine again.
That's right. But why does he have to eat that much?
Because he's really hungry.
He burns 1,500 calories every performance of The Music Man.
Is he still doing that?
Oh, yeah. He's still doing that. Dee saw it just a little while ago. So anyway, the bottom line is he needs to bulk up for Wolverine for Deadpool 3. And he is right now at about 4,500 calories a day. He's working to get up to 6,000 calories today. And it's causing some headaches for the costume designers working with him on the Broadway show, The Music Man, as he's trying to bulk up. Stretchy pants. He said, I'm burning 1,500 calories during the show 8 times a week. So, wow, you know, so he's obviously got to bulk up a little bit, but everybody's wondering about the plot details for Deadpool 3. But there have been some little hints here and there. Reynolds took to social media back in 2021, said that he had in mind, kind of in what is called the threequel, it's critical to have an open, healthy, honest discussion about mental health in the movie. And he said, I think it's kind of going to be a road trip between Deadpool and Logan. It's unconfirmed, but most people say this is too good an idea to pass up because, first of all, to have these two, you know, because some of Deadpool's funniest stuff has been in a car, either with an Uber driver or whatever it is.
Yes.
And to have these two sitting in a car going back and forth at each other. So who knows? But anyway, that's kind of where we're at.
Cool.
All right. What do you got?
So back in 1984, Tom Hanks got the lead role for Splash.
Right.
It became a hit for Disney Touchstone. The way he got that role was he played a character in an episode of Happy Days.
Yeah.
Where he was, I guess he was a karate guy, and he kicked the Fonz through a plate glass window.
Really?
And the writers, Gans and Mandels, they remembered this kid. Because here's the problem. Disney, back in the early 80s, nobody wanted to work for him. The joke was they were waiting outside the Betty Ford Clinic yep. to see whoever came out to offer him a job because they were so cheap back then.
Yeah.
So Hanks got the job. They go, there was this kid in the Happy Days. He kicked Fonz through a window. They called him up.
He's the guy.
And
wow.
And it became a sensation, and that launched Tom Hanks' career.
Boy, do you remember that downturn for Disney where the animation sucked?
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. It just wasn't going
well. Even their live action was garbage.
I mean, and you know, it was amazing. And then all of a sudden, there was that renaissance when we had, you know, the Little Mermaid and the new animation and the music. And everything came back because a lot of people... You know, it's kind of like in the cartoons where there are two little X's over your eyes and your face.
They were dead on arrival.
And, man, I'll tell you, you know, it turned around. Okay. I don't know how to feel about this. Napoleon Dynamite star John Heder wants to do a darker sequel to the 2004 cult comedy and picks up.
I know. Tina turns on him and pecks his eyes out.
I'm not sure if Tina. What is the lifespan of a llama? Or a llama. I don't know. But they spit at you. I do know that. Yeah. So anyway, it will pick up with the characters in real time in their life. So in other words, they are getting older. Now, apparently, Heder was at Pittsburgh Steel City Con, and he pitched several ideas for Napoleon Dynamite 2. That we have Napoleon, who's living a dull life, no longer, you know, doing what he wants to do. Gosh. And the darkness would come from hitting middle age and not being able to use any of your skills.
Like his dance moves?
Or the nunchuck skills.
Did they vote for Pedro?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's probably running for president.
So anyway, apparently he would be in the process of trying to win back Deb. And written by Jared and Jerusha Hess. They are just amazing, great people. Jared, I've known him for a long time. It has a passionate cult following. But I'll tell you, there's part of me that goes, oh, leave me Pedro, leave me Napoleon, leave me Kip, leave them where they are because I have such fond memories. And a lot of people, they're looking at some real bad sequels. And like Dumb and Dumber 2 and Bad Santa 2 that are just off the charts bad.
Yeah, I'm thinking also of the Christmas Story.
Oh, that middle Christmas Story.
The last one also kind of made me nervous, but yeah. It was better than
it was okay, yeah. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that.
I get it. I mean, that's John's thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Napoleon Dynamite is his signature role.
Oh, that's his signature performance, his magnum opus, Steve.
All right, I've got one more story for you.
One more story. Better be good.
Well, so... Eddie Murphy has put off, he does not want to do an Axel Foley, another
right.
Beverly Hills Cop movie. They've sent him 5 or 6 scripts over the last 10 or 12 years, and he said no.
Yeah.
But the key was they got Jerry Bruckheimer back
yeah.
as a producer. And in Eddie Murphy's world, he says, that guy knows his you know what.
Yeah.
And so he's back.
His stuff.
His stuff, yes, thank yeah. you. So Bruckheimer put it together. It works. They filmed it. He says, I'm so much older now, and yet they still want me to jump and run and shoot.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't want to do any of that, but had to. Got it done. But it's finished, and not a date yet. But think about it. Bruckheimer was also the producer on Top Gun Maverick.
I know. You know,
so
Bruckheimer,
he's on a roll.
He's been on the movie show twice, once in studio at KSL, and once when I was over in Hawaii for Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
And he is really a cool guy.
He must be, because he's got his finger on a lot of pulses, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, and sometimes we joke about producers. I mean, I think I learned to really appreciate producers in The Offer to see what, you know, the kind of juggling that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some of them just sit back and get a name credit. You know, they're being schmoozed. But then there's the guy that really does just try to keep all the balls in the air at the same time. You know, it's like the old guy on the Ed Sullivan Show spinning the plates and the dancing bears and the Russian, you know, ballet and everything else going, oh, please, you know, just get me through the hour. That's what a lot of producers do. Bruckheimer is one of them.
I'm glad you mentioned The Offer. It's one of my favorite series that I saw last year.
I'm not kidding you. I loved The Offer. I didn't like it. I loved it.
And to me, it was the actors were so dead on.
Oh.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. The people they picked, like, Francis Ford Coppola, I would have never chosen that guy, but there he is.
I know, and there's Good, you know, who's playing the part of Bob Evans.
Yeah.
He's perfect.
Yeah. If you have not seen The Offer on Paramount Plus, check it out.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's worth signing up. And Stephen, I get no cut on this at all. It's worth signing up for that one.
Well, if we ever get – we don't do a streaming news anymore, I noticed
well,
that.
Well, we do that occasionally.
But there is another Taylor Sheridan show.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's see. We have The King of Whatever. We have the Tulsa. We have 1883. We have Wind River that he did a while back. We have 1923. We have Yellowstone. What else have we got?
Lioness, which was the last week's. Nicole Kidman is going to lead that. It's a CIA operative series. And then this week we've got David Oyelowo was going to play Bass Reeves, he's a U.S. Marshal, the first black U.S. Marshal west of the Mississippi.
Wow.
Kind of, they said, the inspiration for the Lone Ranger. And Dennis Quaid is in this.
Really?
So another Taylor Sheridan.
How is he doing it?
I don't get it.
You know, I don't either. However, I have to tell you, I love Yellowstone, but this year, Yellowstone has been really weird.
It's dark.
It's
dark and it's slow.
Dark and a little, you know. So, I mean, I'm still with it, and I'm still a fan. But, you know, because it's led me a little bit into the weeds a few times, and then it brought me back. But I'm hoping it brings me back when it starts, on February? No, it's 1923 that starts again in February 6th.
Yeah, this is the summer.
Yeah.
Is when the second
so we
half
have to
of
wait.
The But this is the other thing. Rip, you know, the kid that plays Rip, he says there's a 6 for sure.
Yeah.
But there might be a 7.
Wow.
And I thought Taylor said 6 was it.
You know, speaking of that, Cole Hauser.
Yeah.
And then the guy that plays Casey.
Yeah.
And then the bad son,
Will Bentley. Will,
yeah, Bentley. All three of them were up there for the last premiere in Utah.
Yeah.
Up at the Park City Library, and they're really nice guys.
Oh yeah.
I had the chance to have my photo taken with them. And I asked
him, guy next to the
baby. Yeah, I asked him, well, they're not, some of them aren't all that big. And I asked him not to take me to the train station. And they laughed. They're really good guys. And that's where I've mentioned this several times, that people on the cast have told me how much they loved being in Park City. They had their kids in school up there and everything.
I know.
They were lured away by them guys up in Montana.
It's pretty country up there.
It's pretty country, but wouldn't you rather be in Utah?
Well, everything's so much closer here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the biggest problem they're having is they're way out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, there you have it.
The Movie Show.
We'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We are so pleased on The Movie Show to have John Nine, who is joining us. He is Senior Programmer and Director of Strategic Initiatives and more at the Sundance Film Festival. He's been with the festival since 2001. John, thank you for joining us here on The Movie Show.
My pleasure. Good morning.
Bring us up to date on how things are this year. Steve and I were talking about it. It's so nice to have things. I don't know if anything's ever going to be quote-unquote normal again, but this is close to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, people ask us, what are we most excited about in the festival? And, you know, we have to start with, well, we're excited to be back in Utah, you know, and seeing last night for day one, auditoriums full of audiences, people, real people. After having two virtual festivals, it was really energizing. And so, yeah, it's great. It's great to be back in person and to feel the excitement of the room.
You know, as much as we all love Park City and everybody loves Park City, but it's fun to, again, have kind of an epicenter of the festival itself right in the heart of downtown Salt Lake City. We've been friends with the Megaplex Theaters for a long, long time. To have that gateway, the entire gateway theater devoted to the Sundance Film Festival, that is very cool.
Yeah, it was a big priority for us to start thinking about how we expand the capacity for films in Salt Lake. And, you know, the Gateway is a perfect way of doing that. It's a great venue. It gives us a lot of flexibility with the screens. It's very convenient for people. And so we're excited to, you know, I think it gives people a range of options as well, too. Like, you know, there's any number of film screening at the same time. There's a real diversity of the program. And so we feel like it's a perfect venue to kind of accommodate that diversity. And we're hopeful that people are going to come out and attend.
As you look at the festival for this year, what do you anticipate? And you never know until it's in the record book. But what do you anticipate as being some of the real highlights this year?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to know. And I think, you know, what's exciting to us, I would say, is the idea that those highlights are going to be a broad range of film. They're not going to be one kind of film. The program this year, and this is something that the programmers have talked about a lot, is really broad ranging. There are, you know, you would not be surprised that there are dramas or some fantastic performances, some really standout performances from some actors that people will know. Daisy Ridley from the Star Wars trilogy is in a wonderful movie called Sometimes I Think About Dying, in a very different role for her. Eugenio Derbez, who people will know from the movie Coda, is in a film called Radical. It's a phenomenal performance. So, you know, there are performances that will stand out in dramas, but then there are movies that are really pushing the boundaries of movies. We have, interestingly, four movies that you would say are sort of quasi-science fiction movies, but they're really stretching that form. There was a movie that played last night called The Pod Generation, which stars Emilia Clarke and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and it's a kind of near future world in which couples can have a baby, not naturally, but through an artificial pod, right? The baby grows in the pod. So it's a science fiction premise, but it's a really funny, really romantic movie about a marriage, about technology, and about the way that it will at some point intrude into our life. We just really like the broadness of the program, seeing science fiction, seeing genre, seeing these really powerful directing voices. I would say one other film we really are curious to see how it plays is a film called Magazine Dreams, which is in our U.S. competition, featuring, again, a phenomenal performance from Jonathan Majors, Real Physicality. It's about a black bodybuilder who's ambitious and wants to be the best, the world-class bodybuilder, but it kind of becomes a story about that ambition and about being marginalized, and it's a really formally striking film. So, you know, these are some of the films, and then of course documentaries. Always we have, interestingly, right, a lot of biographical documentaries. We had one in day one last night about the Indigo Girls, another one about Little Richard. And this is a trend for sure, and I think it's a trend in the industry, seeing a lot of films that are about, you know, biographical films about people who, you know, were pioneering in some way, and those have always been a good part of our program.
John, I know you're on a very, very tight schedule today, and I want to respect that. We so appreciate you joining us today, but I hope at some time in the future we could chat with you again about the Sundance Institute's Film Preservation Initiative. Every time I hear about film preservation, whether it's something that TCM is doing at the Library of Congress, that just is so important to me. So maybe we could make an appointment for another time to have you join us here on the movie show.
I would love that. That's my beat. I deal with those archive films, and I would love to talk about them.
We'll have Gustavo get in touch with you again. And again, I want to respect your time. Thank you so very, very much for joining us here on the movie show today.
You are most welcome. Thanks for having me.
John Nine with us, and he's the senior programmer and director of strategic initiatives. You know, every year when the Library of Congress comes up with their films that, you know, are just honored within the library itself, and part of it, it basically becomes part of a national treasure that they accumulate and honor. And then TCM is often talking about the preservation efforts and so on. And I know Sundance, and when I saw that in his repertoire, I wanted to kind of get into the stuff that was pertinent for right now, this week, and so on.
Sure.
But Gustavo, write down that John Nine got to be back on the movie show to talk about the preservation.
What do you think about all the movies that have come out of Sundance? It's really Exactly. Remarkable.
Exactly.
You wouldn't even think about, like, maybe Reservoir Dogs or Whiplash.
Oh, I know.
Or Beasts of the Southern Wild.
And some of them that have premiered, you know. And, I mean, I always remember Hoosiers. And I remember some of the great premieres that we have seen there. And you go, wow.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Oh, Four Weddings and a Funeral is one of my favorite movies of all time. And sometimes it's hard to recommend that because, you know, the opening line is, rah, 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 rah. And the Utah state legislators were falling out of their chairs.
Oh, they fell out into
the lobby on that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so important. And when you think that a film festival that has been around this long now, you think of all the films from the 1970s. We don't think of Jaws as being some ancient classic movie, but it is. It's quite old. And all of the film stock that they were using, a lot of it was, you know, kind of not the traditional, you know, Technicolors or things like that. And they faded like crazy.
Yeah.
And then you think of how few, I mean, startling, like 90% of the silent films don't even exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, half those movies, the cowboy movies they made down in southern Utah, all that, maybe probably at least 70% of them don't exist anymore.
Well, and remember, too, you know, we've talked about and our friend, you know, Blaine Gale and others, you know, the Hale brothers and quite a few people we'll talk about. And Jim Dark, of course,
yeah,
who's just the guru, the archivist, and who brought so many of the great collections, like the Max Steiner collection, you know, the Cecil B. DeMille, the Dean Jagger. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. Jimmy Stewart. Collections,
yeah, that are
at BYU,
yeah,
for heaven's sake. But he talks about sometimes they will find a film that they thought was lost. They find it in Romania.
Yeah,
you know, they'll
some
find
guy's
it,
attic.
Yeah, there was, you know, it was at a boys' camp, I think, in like upstate New York, in a barn. They had this film that was thought to have been lost, and there was just something magic about how it had been kept. It was buried like literally under hay and different things like that. It had never been exposed.
The temperature was just right.
The heat and light, and so, because nitrate film will just spontaneously burst into flame. It's crazy. So anyway, Fall to Rawl.
You know, the movie I'm looking forward to is called Flora and Song. The Son, this is the guy that brought us Once and Sing Street, and it's another musical kind of film with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Wow.
But it's an Irish film, so that is high on my list.
Yeah.
Plus the docs, Michael J. Fox has a documentary called Still, you know, and the
things. Yeah, we talked about that in
Parkinson's
Movie News.
And Brooke Shields has got a movie. Judy Blume has a documentary. There's some good stuff coming out.
Yeah. Sundance Film Festival.
The
underway.
Fact that they go through 4,000 entries and pick 100 films out of that is pretty ridiculous. Can you imagine having to?
Oh, can you imagine?
Do you think they watched every bit of every movie?
I don't know.
I'd be like, 5 minutes. Nope.
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 Nope. Yeah.
You know, better start well, because
we're watching 80 for Brady and we're going, nope.
I noticed you had to dance around there at the beginning quite a bit. Did you?
Oh, well, you know,
is that part of the problem?
That was another thing. You know, I showed up at that and my eye was just killing me. So we timed it so we went. And because watching on, I mean, the big screen is a great experience, but when your eye is just dying and I'm just sitting there. And so they just said, yeah, go up to E. And, you know, everybody on E, they always try to have a space between themselves.
Well, we didn't have a lot of space that night.
I know. Everybody was compacting. But finally, you know, we had the film rep coming. But I was fine.
That Alessia was really good about getting you.
Oh, she was
decency.
Great. Yeah, we have some really good.
That didn't help, though, the movie.
Oh, nothing helped this movie.
I was surprised to hear you hated it that much. I mean, I was annoyed massively.
Well, and again, you know, we were just reflecting on this. When you think of the talent that's up on the screen, and every one of those women, they are amazing and have been recognized for amazing performances and overall careers. And you just, you know, this is going to sound crass, but I hope none of them die soon so this is not their last movie.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Well, some of them are
a sad thought.
Barreling down on 90.
I know.
Well, you know.
And the one that's the oldest, it looks the youngest.
Well, she looks like if there was an overly big smile, it would crack.
Oh, yeah, she's had a little bit of work
tough.
Done.
It's tough. You know, there was one picture, Jane Fonda. We love Jane Fonda. You know, she's just terrific. But there's one scene where you kind of see her as she looks. She took the wig off. Wasn't just bombarded, you know, with makeup,
spray paint.
Yeah, spray paint, you know, from the car wash. And I thought she looked great.
Yeah,
it was respectful of the age.
She's got to be mid-80s, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yeah.
We are the great purveyors of all wisdom and knowledge here. And, of course, you know, we look so darn good.
Yeah. Watch my troll video from last week.
Yeah, we had one.
Like, ah!
You go, you know, isn't that startling? I mean, sometimes you'll see a picture of yourself and go, oh, okay, that's not bad for an old guy.
Yeah, but then, from 3 miles
away.
Yeah,
from 3 miles away through gauze, you know, and from a satellite photo.
What a shock.
But then when you see something that was kind of candid and you go, no wonder my kids have actually at times called me Doug of the Hut. You know, your kids love you when they call you Doug of the Hut.
Horrified.
The Movie Show.
Una puta solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Java that I've got his money.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Is that Java or Dugga?
No, you don't say that. We got to stop picking on
ourselves. I have a good sense of humor.
I know, but it is a shock. I get it.
You know, it is a shock.
Where did that come from?
I know. When did that happen? Okay, Stephen.
Yeah.
What is the little movie that maybe we could quickly address?
Maybe Alice Darling.
Okay, Alice Darling. Here we go. A little sound.
Hey, baby. Is everything okay?
What's going on?
So I think I'm going to have to leave early.
When did he become more important to you than us?
I lied to him. He has every right to be angry.
Lied? About what?
About being here.
I didn't know you were coming.
Well, I'm sure Alice will explain it all later.
Later.
This is one of those movies where you have a boyfriend and you realize, and you've just gone so far down the road that you just put up with it.
Yeah.
And you've gotten accustomed to it. In this case, Alison Brie is in a relationship with this British guy who's just really kind of demanding. Like, oh, you really want to wear your hair that way? Or, you know, and so she's supposed to go on this girl's weekend, two of her best friends. They've been friends forever. Yeah. And it's like one of them's birthday. And they got this place up north in New York, upstate. And they got this cabin. But she keeps getting these notes from, like, oh, she lies to him, tells him she went on a business trip.
Right.
Because she just doesn't want the hassle. Well, I thought you loved me. Why are you going off with them? And then, you know, they get together and they're like, what has happened to you? Look at you. She's actually literally pulling
her hair out. I know.
Yeah. And Alison Brie, this is a really good role for her.
Yeah.
The problem was that third act, you know, the guy shows up with groceries and everything. He's going to make him dinner. And they're all like, this guy's nuts. Yeah. You need to get out of there. But she doesn't actually stand up for herself, even in the crucial moment. It's her friends that, you know, stand up to
her. Well, and you think of the spunky characters she's played before.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, on the talk show, she said that she actually kind of experienced this.
Yes,
that
exactly.
It was a real deal for
her.
Yeah,
she was in a relationship with the British guy who was a photographer for 6 years. And so she didn't have to do any research for this. So that part of the movie works. It's that how do you finish it that doesn't work? B minus.
Yeah, I had a tough time with this movie. I'd be more of a C plus, so.
Yeah, it's only playing, though, at the AMC West Jordan, so
right. It's
not an easy find. It is rated R. I was just hoping for a little bit. I didn't know you'd seen it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was disappointed by it, and I don't know. But I will tell you, Steve, though, I have known people who have had a relationship.
Oh.
Smart, bright, wonderful, active, spunky people. And there's just something in a toxic relationship that is almost like an intoxicant.
Yes.
And they don't realize what's happening to them.
And they become a different person.
And you go, what is
Who
wrong?
Are you?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. So, again, it's called?
Alice Darling.
Alice Darling.
The Movie Show.
You could just write your own roles, you know, write something that's as interesting as you are.
What are you going to do?
I have my own club.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
It is the Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. And, you know, before too long, we're going to do the Movie Show Top 10. Look, we have a great friend of ours, a listener of this show for how many years have you tolerated us here, Les? More than any man could
as long as he's been growing that beard.
Endure or measure. And every now and then he brings in something really cool for us. And what have you – he gave this to you, Steve. How come?
Well, it's because I've suffered longly, and it's because this is a picture.
Yes.
Of – who's this? Is his Alan, name Poe? Alan Post?
Alan – what's his name? Alan somebody.
And Connie Hines, and then you in the middle.
Yeah, and me in the middle. And what he's saying about is Mr. Ed.
You are Mr. Ed.
That's a great picture.
And it's even signed by...
Signed by Connie Hines.
Yeah.
You know who was on the Mr. Ed show?
Yes, she was... I didn't know he had a wife, but there she is.
You're going to frame that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Remember, he'd always leave the house and leave her behind, then go out and talk to Mr. Ed.
With my my voodoo doll, Dougie voodoo doll.
Yeah.
Have you seen that lately? Oh, boy. You probably wouldn't.
How many pins are in that thing now?
Just one screw in the eye.
Yeah, one in the eye. I felt that one this week. That really cool, Les.
That is cool. Thank you, Les.
So much.
And
brought
the
in
Dune.
Some other goodies, too.
I mean, how... This has got to be.
Well, he knows I'm a big fan of Bobby Burns, you know, Robert Burns,
yes,
the poet laureate of Scotland, and really cool stuff. So.
Yeah, where do you find all this stuff?
He's amazing. He truly is. Les, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And I'll never quite. I still don't know where you guys connect the movie show Top 10 to Mr. Ed, though. I just don't understand it at all.
Planning on a weekend of binge watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
You know, I'm a big fan of theatrical openings and everything, but I have to tell you, there are some series and so on that have been on... I'm totally hooked on 1923. I loved 1883. You know how I feel about Yellowstone and others. Jack Ryan, we just binged that whole thing.
Are you talking about Reacher? Or?
No, Ryan.
Oh, the Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, yeah. I know, I get confused. Yeah. There's so many Jacks and Johns, really. I mean, John Wick,
right.
And Jack is just a nickname for John. I mean, we got all three of these heavyweight guys. But, man, I loved the
Jack Ryan, the third season.
Yeah.
That's really good. I mean,
the old Russian guy is just, he is just such a wonderful.
You weren't sure what side of the fence he was on.
And where he's going, but, you know.
You know, my favorites this year, you mentioned The Offer.
Wednesday.
I love Wednesday.
I'm watching it again because I missed some subtleties and nuances. And once you kind of get into the groove, you know who the characters are. I started again. I'm on episode 3. And I am loving that series.
I've watched Reacher twice.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely, you know, when he has those little dialogues where he says, you know, I came here. I knew you wanted me to hit you, but I probably won't. But what you did to.
Yeah.
I mean, he sets it up. It's almost like the lines that Raylan Givens has in Justified, where he explains, like, yeah, I could probably kill you right now, but that's not going to do anybody any good. And he has those monologues or dialogues with people right before he shoots them or beats the living daylights out of them. And I just love it. But here's the new one, The Last of Us. This is Pedro Pascal, the Mandalorian, without his helmet. And there's that voice. And the young girl, Bella Ramsey, who was in that. Catherine, you have I think you have the DVD for this. It's called Birdie.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to get married. She's one of those, you know, medieval princesses. Anyway, she's in it, and it's a kind of a, this is the only drawback, is it's sort of a, in a monster movie, I'm thinking of. What kind of?
Quiet Place?
No.
You left me in the weeds here, Steve.
Yeah, no, it's you get a disease and you turn into a zombie. It's a kind of a sorry. I don't know why that.
That was not even coming close to being what I had pictured.
But it's a fungi, and they explain how it takes over, but it doesn't kill you. It just scrambles your brain and then uses your body. And it's a little more insidious.
That's kind of what the movie show does to people.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, oh, my gosh, the first episode I saw Sunday, and it. The hook is there.
Okay. So. You know, I think Dee, when she's here for the quirky picks, is going to talk about one that we watched the other day that was kind of bizarre. But anyway, what is the most popular series on Disney Plus?
Well, let's see. It's not Mandalorian.
It's age old. It's been around forever. Everybody loves it.
Like Friends.
Old series, new series are added. The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely killing it. The most streamed series on Disney Plus.
Isn't that like 30-some-odd seasons? Simpsons.
There were 30 seasons. Now it's up to 33 because they keep adding, you know, new stuff. And it is,
that was inherited from Fox.
Right, right. December, it was 52.75 times higher than the average series demand. After all these years, The Simpsons just absolutely killing it.
That's the same like Friends. Friends is just...
But they're not adding new Friends.
No, that's true. That's
yeah,
true. That's
yeah.
True.
So this is kind of an ongoing thing, speaking of growing like viruses.
Well,
The Simpsons.
So the first episode, just that Sunday night, almost 5 million people watched the Last of Us. So, yeah. And it's got a $100 million budget for 9 episodes. They're going to run each Sunday from now until March.
A lot of people intense. Are anxious for the Mayor of Kingston season 2. And the only thing really to talk about here is after Jeremy Renner's accident.
Oh, he's going to be.
The snowplow accident. His visible injuries were photoshopped out of the official key art for Paramount Plus series. And he just said, outside of my brain fog in recovery, I was very excited to watch episode 201 with my family at home. And this happened 2 weeks before the return of the Paramount Plus series, The Mayor
of
Kingston.
They're talking about a long-term recovery on this thing.
And boy, you know, I'm still trying to get it in my head what exactly
happened. The darn thing ran over him.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, wow, you know.
14,000-pound machine. Yeah. Thank goodness there was snow there. Otherwise, he'd be dead.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, because it was critical when he was admitted. Anything else on your docket?
Well, one of the movies that already has sold. So this year, there's a writer's strike potentially coming up. So some of the people are up at Sundance going, all right, we need to buy some stuff. Yeah. Because if there's no writers, there's no movies. So Run, Rabbit, Run has already been sold to Netflix. This is an XYZ Films, and they're usually, you know, kind of in that Saban Films sort of thing.
Yeah.
They've already bought it. I'm sure they saw it in advance, but it's about a fertility doctor who confronts the grim past of her own past, and then her daughter starts acting bizarre alongside the arrival of a mysterious rabbit.
Oh, a mysterious rabbit.
And it's an Australian movie. So no figures on how much they paid. But Run, Rabbit, Run at Sundance right now has already been bought by Netflix.
Rian Johnson, he's kind of made a little confession. He loves making movies, you know. But he said, you know, honestly, doing TV-type stuff and the streaming things is more fun.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, it was kind of poker face.
This is the Knives Out guy.
Glass Onion, everything else, yeah. Poker Face is his latest project, a 10-episode detective series starring Natasha Lyonne. Lyonne.
Yeah, it's.
Is that misspelled in there?
It
then?
Is, I think. I'm pretty sure it's Lyonne.
Okay, I'll go with that. But in the official page, I have it's Lynn. But who cares? It streams on Peacock beginning on January 26th. Johnson said he enjoys making films, including the feature, you know, entries into his multiple Knives Out contract. There's another one coming up, too, that he's working on. He said he really enjoys the pace and collaborative spirit. However.
Huh.
Of working on a television series. He said he feels a lot more stress when he's working alone, he's writing a script and everything else, versus kind of that old thing we used to see on the Dick Van Dyke Show, where everybody's sitting around in the room, there's Murray, there's Sally, there's everybody, and they're just kind of kicking around ideas. He said TV's more like that. So,
well, you're almost forced to come up with stuff because it's right there. It's immediate.
Right. So anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting take, and he said he still loves movies, certainly, but television's more fun.
So a little bit more on that next Taylor Sheridan series. It's called Bass Reeves. It is starring David Oyelowo as the title lawman in Indian Territory. This is during the, what do they call it, the Reconstruction era.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, back in the late 1800s. And he will play Bass Reeves, apparently, like, one of the greatest. He brought in like 400 bad guys and never got a scratch, which is pretty remarkable. And Dennis Quaid will be playing with him. His name is Cheryl Lynn, which is kind of a weird name for a dude.
Cheryl, don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, exactly. They're filming it in Texas. And it's a period drama about the first black deputy, U.S. Marshal, west of the Mississippi, and may have been the inspiration for the Lone Ranger. Yeah. So,
isn't it fun to see some of these stories? You know, like it started, you know, it's been going on for a long time now, but like who, when I was growing up, could tell you anything about the Tuskegee? You know, airmen.
Oh, yeah.
Who could talk about? Yeah, I mean, some of the things that we've seen very recently. You know, these movies.
Devotion, for example.
Devotion is perfect, and even 42, as well known as Jackie Robinson was and is.
Right.
You know, the backstory to it, and you know, Thurgood Marshall, to see more about, you know, his life, and I really appreciate this stuff. That's kind of finally, and we're seeing it with. It's hard to believe you talk about half the population this way, but women. You know, like Hidden Figures and the roles and the very significant things that were done in such archaic modern times.
Women Talking is another perfect example. That movie is wider released. You know, it started off very small. Now it's picked up a little bit of steam. So,
well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Streaming news here on The Movie Show at KSL News Radio. Let's go ahead and take a brief break. And I just have a feeling that maybe The Movie Show Top 10 could be lurking just around the corner here.
Well, I'll bring out my picture.
Steve, your picture of Alan.
Oh, I didn't notice that he had signed it, too.
Oh, he signed it, too. What's the last
Alan
name?
Alan Young.
Alan Young. I keep wanting to say Alan Ludden, but that was, you know, Betty White's husband.
It's over his dark suit. I didn't even catch that.
Wow. You got the
Look
double
at this. Where's Ed's signature?
Yeah, I know. Where's the hoof print from Mr. Ed?
It's the official quirky pick of the week on the KSL Movie Show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the quirky picks of the week.
Oh, and we have a correction. Dee just told me and reminded me that it's Anna Kendrick.
No, Anna. You know, I kept going.
Allison Brie. I'm like, dude, they kind of look alike.
They do. And look same age. About the same age.
I'm actually going to answer this because this is our friend Jennifer Archer, who's on the line right now, and apparently somehow has forgotten that we're doing the movie show.
Now, well, I'm sure she'll be thrilled that you put her on the air.
Yeah, well, you know, you're only hearing what. She already hung up.
People do that a lot, though.
I think I heard dadgummit, Doug.
Yeah. Don't do this to me, Doug. So, anyway.
I'm here.
Yeah, Jen, in an hour, we'll be happy to chat.
Yeah, Jen. okay.
She's writing bad words.
Yeah, she's sending me a text, so let's bust her.
I'm losing my attention span on my segment.
On your segment.
Yes.
It's me, the me hour. Go.
That's right.
This is all about D right now.
Well, no, I'm here to support you guys.
We need all the support we can possibly get. Did you notice, as you were listening in, that I did not talk in our streaming news about one thing that you and I kind of binged recently? Are you going to talk about that?
I might, but I'm not sure what you're talking about. But I have something specific.
It's British.
I know. Yes.
Yeah. Dolly Parton?
I have it on my... Back to Dolly.
Are you serious?
We're going back to Dolly.
One more time. This is not bashing on Dolly, because we all love Dolly, but we're recognizing a little slippage here, whatever. But anyway, in order to, you know, celebrate her greatness, Doug and I watched 9 to 5 recently. And
you know what else was on? Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
One of my favorite movies.
Our son is still scarred.
I had it on in the background, and I started laughing.
When was it on?
It's on the same network as 9 to 5.
Oh, Hard Rock Candy Christmas. I just think it's got so many sweet moments, given that it's set in a whorehouse. But, you know, I think it's such a – my kids used to say, Mom – Mothers aren't supposed to have their kids watch
Do you realize
this?
What you see in this movie?
Well, you don't really see a
lot. Yes, you do.
Well, I didn't.
Yes, you do.
But anyway.
Post-dance moves.
In honor of Dolly, I brought you a present. A Dolly present.
A Dolly present?
So is it ticking?
No. You're gonna love it. Open it.
What is it?
You're going to love it.
No way.
Dolly. Oh, I've already partaken of that.
You have to describe
this very one.
Describe it.
Well, Duncan Hines, Dolly Parton's Southern style coconut
cake mix. Yeah. Cake mix.
So you can go home.
Where did you find this?
And describe it. It's so cute. It's pink with Dolly on the front and her big fluffy hair.
When she said "and her big," I was kind of going, "Where is this going? This is fluffy a family hair. Show."
And our daughter made it the other night.
Where did you find this?
This is a funny story. She loves Dolly. Our daughter and daughter-in-law.
Every female in our family loves Dolly Parton,
including Virginia Pierce, by the way.
So she saw it online and she went to order three of them for Christmas gifts, but she accidentally ordered three cases. So she ended up with dozens of them, and I'm probably tipping my hand on that. But anyway, she made it the other night, and it was delicious.
So I'm making this for my football party.
Now the good news is, Steve, that you got that. But you do realize she's been giving those away for weeks.
No. I haven't given them to you.
You're a little down the food chain.
No.
She made me feel special.
I know. I have to bring it back to reality.
I haven't given them to anybody. This is our daughter. But anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Because you know how, the snickerdoodles, I buy them. Somebody went on Amazon and found the Krusty's snickerdoodles.
They're like homemade, right?
They're good.
They're very good.
She got us hooked during the pandemic when we were doing all the shows from my house.
Well, and our daughter-in-law used to make them, and I'd go, "Can you give me the recipe?" And she'd go, "Oh, yeah, remind me." But she never wanted to give me the recipe until she told me where they were.
That's where she got
the Krusty's.
That's right.
That's kind of.
But 9 to 5, what a classic. And it's kind of fun that we watched it, and then you're talking about Jane Fonda, too, because they were. I mean, Dolly still, I'm sorry, love her to death, but she was not a fabulous actress in that movie, but she was a good Dolly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She plays Dolly well.
She did Dolly well.
Did I hear, she said that she lost a contest, a Dolly Parton look-alike contest. She entered and lost.
Where was that?
I don't know.
Dollywood.
It's like Martha Stewart. She was in prison and entered some decorating contest and lost.
And lost.
When you got time in prison.
So that's what we watched that for fun. And then for not so much fun, we kind of binged the series. I think in America it's called A Very English Scandal, but in England it's called A Very,
Very British
Scandal,
this
starring
Hugh Grant.
Claire Foy, Paul Bettany. There was a Hugh Grant one that was a British Scandal years ago.
Yeah, it's a series.
Is it a series?
Yes.
Oh, you're right. I noticed there was season one and season two.
Right.
So
right.
This is season two.
Right.
And I'm sorry I didn't research the couple's name, but it was based on a real Earl of Argyle, right. And so he is a member of the British Parliament.
Not the Earl of Sandwich.
No, not the Earl. Yeah, he was a lord. She was a duchess.
And nasty. Oh, and they were both nasty. And there were no redeeming qualities from anybody.
It was like, wow. Before the sexual revolution, they were plowing the ground.
And it makes the Real Housewives of Salt Lake look fun, right? Okay.
No, nothing makes that look fun.
No, don't say that. But anyway.
Yes.
So we watched that. And then I just wrapped up. I've mentioned it before, but I want to bring it back because it's coming up for its final wrap-up called Firefly Lane, starring Katherine Heigl a real cute actress called Sarah Chop. It's based on a popular novel by Kristen Hanna. But for my girly friends out there and you guys that are in touch with your feminine sides,
yes,
I think you might like
tidy that up.
Is she looking at us or is she looking at Stone?
Definitely. It's a good series, and I was a little slow getting into it, but it's based on friendship, and it's a little bit like This Is Us or The Story of Us, This Is Us, where they have three times in their lives juxtapositions against each other. When they were children together, these two gal pals, when they were starting their careers, which happens to be in broadcast, and then when they were grown up with their families or not families. And so it kind of goes back and forth in between that, which makes it interesting, but a little slow to get into. So
I have to tell you, they dragged me, they being my daughter and
my wife. Duct taped you to a chair.
Duct taped me for a rousing rendition of Desperate. No, not well. They were
the
pretty,
Real Housewives
they were pretty
of Salt
desperate
Lake City.
That night.
Don't.
But.
Yes. Okay.
But.
I'll stop.
She has
you.
Not dragged me in and tried to duct tape me on what I think would kind of. I think I would like that. Firefly?
Oh, I think you'd like it too. Yeah.
So why haven't you, I mean,
I was
actually.
Are we doing East Wing, West Wing TV watching?
A little bit. Well, he's been not watching as much TV.
Yeah, I've been listening to books a lot.
Yeah, so I think that
One-Eyed Willie's probably,
exactly.
Yeah, but I think you would like it. I'd watch it again. It's a nice series. And Firefly Lane,
I'm kind of a Katherine Heigl fan. You know, she has her place here in Utah and everything.
And she's interesting in this, too, because she has a real downtrodden, difficult childhood and then overcomes it, becomes quite a notable broadcast person, which she plays very well. She really does that very well.
So what's your quirky pick of the week? What would you recommend?
80 for Brady.
Oh.
By the way, I'm going to give you 2 weeks to simmer down on this whole thing.
Is that when it opens?
I think I'm becoming more nauseated thinking of it.
And you know how lighthearted I am about things. But
you know, I thought it was going to be Book Club Goes NFL.
I did, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
When I saw the people, I thought, Dee's going to love this.
Yeah. But, and you saw who produced it?
No.
Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, he was one of the producers.
I'm like, what was he thinking? Okay, my pick of the week would be 9 to 5.
9 to 5.
My second pick that I'll go see is Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yes,
I was
be
shocked
aware.
How much fun that movie was.
Oh, you know.
I do the little sidestep.
Is
that Charles Durning?
Oh, he's wonderful in this.
He is one of my favorite actors. You know, when he played the governor.
He does that little.
How does he turn his head?
Yeah, and the
hat stays on.
That is some brilliant choreography.
He is amazing. And the way he just bounces all over the Capitol, you know, whenever anybody asks him a question.
Oh, yeah, he's dodging every bullet.
Oh, my goodness. And then Burt Reynolds is wonderful
in
that movie.
He is good. Yeah. Dolly looks so young and beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
so cute. Yeah. It was a perfect role for her. Yeah. Actually, probably a better role than 9 to 5, but she was, you know.
Do you remember the Cheyenne Social Club?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was kind of like an updated version of that, almost musical.
Yep,
and, you know, to take kind of such
Jimmy Stewart and
to take such a kind of sordid type thing and make it so entertaining and even a bit lovable. But, boy, be aware. I mean, you know.
There's some nudity.
Yeah. I mean, this.
It's fast, though. You could blink and miss it.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't know.
Blink sexual.
About.
It's just not like full frontal obnoxious in your face. It's fast. Trust me, I've watched it a million times.
Now, remember, this is Deanne who's saying this. It ain't Steve or me.
Yeah, and you haven't said Schitt's Creek all day, so.
Oh, there you go.
Steve just said it.
But love
it. Okay. Thank you. We will be here all week, maybe. Steve, Dee can get away with that.
I know. It sounded awful when I said it.
Yeah, it did. I'm sure that's going to be on reels out there.
Schitt's Creek. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, enjoy your cake mix.
Thank you
I'm
so
sure
much.
It'll be delicious.
Oh, my gosh. My gang is going to go nuts.
Isn't it cute?
Sunday
online.
The Dolly's
coconut
cake mix.
That is precious.
Dee?
It's perfectly moist.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes. Well, I was a little late, wasn't I? But anyway.
You give the movie show actually a little class and credibility.
Yeah,
a lot of class.
I'm always fun. So, okay.
Okay.
That sounds
like
a Real Housewives tagline.
I know it
doesn't.
Does.
I take it back. I'm not always fun, really.
What are they going to do about the Jen lady?
She's out. She doesn't come back to the reunion. The reunion's next week, two parts.
Okay.
Which is always good. Really, I love the reunion.
Okay.
And so.
You get a time to chair for that.
And you know what? I don't think you hated watching it. You didn't moan or anything.
Well, that's because I was sedated.
It's kind of fun.
He's more like a closet whiner.
I was sedated.
No, he's not a closet whiner. Trust me.
Oh. Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, look at the time.
I am a busy woman.
All right.
See you later.
You are a busy woman.
Thanks,
the
Dee.
Quirky picks of the week. That was pretty quirky.
That was great.
And
love
it. Dolly Southern style coconut
cake
mix.
Even got cool bags.
I know, cool bags and everything.
The movie show.
We are really fighting the clock, and every minute counts. Wait, they're all slots?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for telephone torture. And we have fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. Our friends at the Megaplex Theater, I got this straight from Jeff V. Whipple. And option number one is an all-inclusive Megaplex Theater's Valentine's date night on Tuesday. The 14th. Yeah, you got the bigger print. Date and location specific on this one because it's Jordan Commons, the District, or Valley Fair. Gourmet dinner, buffet for two.
Yeah.
Two Megaplex movie tickets, one large Megaplex popcorn to share, two large Coca-Cola soft drinks, and a special Valentine's gift.
Yeah.
So again, that's on the 14th, Jordan Commons District or Valley Fair. Then, option number two, door number two, Monty, it is the new Platinum X movie experience, double date night for Platinum X movie tickets available exclusively at the LHM Megaplex Theaters at Thanksgiving Point in Lehigh, two large Megaplex popcorns, and four large drinks. And we have the traditional telephone torture prize. So, Stephen, I'm thinking of a number.
Two.
Two! We're only going to have one loser. Are you trying to ruin my day?
Maybe.
Maybe. Likely. Okay. Let's go to the phone line and find out who our first one, and I'm sure this person is going to be have integrity and stay on to be the honor. We had somebody flake on us a while back.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. There's been a lot of flaking going on.
A lot of flakes on the movie show is what you're saying?
Well, that was kind of
That's probably true. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. Thank you for not being a flake, but you're still a loser. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Well,
he's an honorable.
You are an honorable stand-up guy loser. So how does that make you feel?
You know, I made it on the movie show. So there we go, right?
Ooh,
I'll take that loser status.
Everybody's a wiener.
Elevated right there.
Yeah, you have elevated your status in life dramatically, but we're still going to have to loserize you. Here we go.
Because losing sucks.
You know, right to the point. And now we go to the phone line, and hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hello? Are you answering your own phone there? How you doing?
Okay.
Well, what's your name?
Vahe.
Vahe.
Oh, don't believe me.
Vahe?
Vahe. Vahe, you are a big...
I lost track.
You are a wiener.
I am. Cool.
You are a big
wiener.
Now, are you taking option number one, option number two, or option number three?
What's two?
Two is the new Platinum X movie experience for four.
But that's in Thanksgiving Point only.
Thanksgiving Point only.
Not a good time or place right now.
Okay.
And so,
the other one's date-specific, the Valentine thing.
Yeah, the other one is Valentine's for a special date night with the gourmet dinner, the tickets, the large popcorn, special Valentine's gift, the drinks, and then the other is the traditional gift.
That would be fun, but my wife is incapacitated right now.
Oh, I'll take the traditional. You'll take the traditional.
Yes,
ladies
please.
And gentlemen, the traditional gift is going to our big wiener today. And Vahe, you know the drill. What do we do to make the one and only loser feel better today?
We ask Frank to make him feel a little better.
There we go.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers.
Oh, nobody says it like Frank.
Bless them all.
Bless them all. All right. Telephone torture. Sponsored.
Bless him all.
Sponsored by our friends at the Megaplex Theater. And we're going to continue this for the next couple of weeks.
And I'm so happy that the Gateway is doing with Sundance.
I think
that's a marriage made in heaven.
That is really cool. All right, Stephen, we need to talk about another movie.
Yes.
And, how about which one should we do?
Well, the one we need to warn people about the sun, and the other one is actually a better film.
Okay, well, let's do When You Finish Saving the World.
Okay.
Here we go.
When you were a little boy, you were my little ally. Your life was going to be happier. You were going to be one of the good ones. And then something switched in you. You stopped being interested in anything outside your own little world.
Sorry about that.
This is that typical 17-year-old depressed kid who's in his own little world. He has his own podcast, writes songs. This is Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
Right.
He keeps growing up, you know.
Right,
and there
right.
he is. And Julianne Moore plays his mom. She runs a women's shelter. So they have, you know, very different lives. He's going to high school, and she's trying to, you know, take care of these poor women that are coming in. But one of the women has a son that reminds her of her son, but he is, like, attentive. And the other one's like, Mom, can I get a ride to school? And she goes, yeah. Are you ready now? And she goes, give me 5 seconds. And he runs upstairs, and she literally counts him down.
Wow.
And then walks out the door. So they, you know, they're kind of at odds. And
yeah.
they, like she said, she used to take him to little rallies and things when he was younger. But he's kind of doing his own, writing his own music. He's got all these followers all over the world. And so he has kind of a cult following. And then she's doing her thing. And they... just they aren't, and the poor dad, he's just sitting there like, I don't know what to do.
What do I do?
Yeah. He kept saying, I hope you're not playing any blues, because that's cultural appropriation. So he's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
It's a sweet movie. And this one handles the idea of teen depression a lot better than the movie we'll talk about, hopefully, The Son, with Hugh Jackman coming up.
Okay. So what's the grade?
The grade is a solid B for When You Finish Saving the World. It's at the Megaplex Theaters, except for the Gateway, of course, because now they're doing
right
Sundance.
Right now they're all Sundance.
So all of the West, the Wasatch Front.
Right.
Megaplexes.
Right. And what is it rated?
Oh, sorry. It is rated R.
Rated R. And it's called When You Finish Saving the World.
Yeah.
No, I'm sensing.
Warning to run.
Ladies and gentlemen, that it is time. Ladies and gentlemen, how come you don't have the picture of Mr. Ed and Alan Young and everybody? It's time for the movie show. Top
10.
Open your eye.
No. Don't make me.
Hello. I'm Miss Ray.
It's right there.
I even animated it for you.
Okay. Here we go. It is time for the movie show Top 10. And as hard to believe as this is, it is actually sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. There in Centerville, Steve.
By the way, what was Mr. Ed's real name?
Oh, we found that out. It was Bamboo Harvester?
Yeah.
Now, what? Did he like bamboo? And it's kind of like calling us donut harvesters?
Well, that would be more accurate.
That would be much more accurate. Bamboo Harvester?
Yeah, I think I like Mr. Ed better.
What do you call him, Bambi for short? I mean, that just ain't right.
Well, I don't know, Wilbur.
You know, a great, great actor like Mr. Ed, and to call him Bamboo Harvester?
Yeah.
I don't quite understand.
I don't get it either.
The world just isn't fair.
You're looking for the top 10.
I am looking for the top 10. I'm killing time. Here we go. Okay. I've got it. Okay.
Do you got this 10th one?
I do.
What is it?
Walter Varela.
Varela.
Walter.
Yes.
What the heck is this?
Film from India. But it's a shorter film. It's only two hours and 30 minutes.
Sound like that would be from Germany or something.
It's from India. Sorry.
Okay. So it's made, what, $1 million?
1.2 and another 300,000 foreign, so it's 1.5.
Okay. All right. That's the number 10 movie. I Want to Dance with Somebody. Love the music in this movie. Big fan of Whitney Houston. But I don't know. This movie just didn't quite hit the note that I had hoped for on this. But I'm glad I saw it. It's made, about $22 million domestically. What is it doing internationally?
Another 27 foreign, so it's almost at $50 million.
And what was the budget on that?
I don't know.
You know, it was fairly big production.
Yeah, no, so. I know they spent a budget.
All right, number 8, The Whale. boy, this movie, out 6 weeks now, it's still around $11 million domestically. Is it on fire elsewhere in the world?
It is not. Has not opened anywhere, but it's still in limited release, only on 1,500 screens.
Brendan Fraser is kind of doing the rounds right now. I saw him on Drew Barrymore's show, which is really kind of a strange show.
She won Best Actor at the Critics Awards.
Yeah, but she, Drew, for whatever reason, was just kind of kneeling before him. Both Dee and I are going... You know, it was just one of those things that happened to be on when we walked into the room. We went, what is this?
What, like genuflecting before?
Yeah, it was kind of strange. And then she'd scurry back and sit down. Then she'd be kind of kneeling in front of him. And
I guess it's because we haven't seen him in so long.
I guess. Number 7, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. 10 weeks now this thing's been hanging in. It's at about $450 million domestically.
387 foreign, so we're at 838.
Think it'll make it?
No.
I don't think so either when it's making $2.5 million a week. House Party. I have not seen House Party. Have you seen House Party?
I saw the original House Party. This is a remake of that one, and it is crap.
And it's crap.
I mean, it's like 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, about $4 million. Plane. You know, I saw this. I liked it.
I did too.
I really did. I like Jarred. I think he does action movies about as good as anybody.
And he's a sympathetic character.
He is a sympathetic character, and he always has a kid, you know, kind of like Bruce Willis's characters, you know,
back then.
You know, and Liam Neeson. Jarred's kind of right in that category. I like Plane quite a bit. It's been out 1 week, and it made, about $11 million. Anything internationally?
Not so far. It's only done 1 million, so it's at 14 total.
Wonder how that movie will do in the Philippines.
Not well.
A Man Called Otto. You know, I've thought a lot about that movie, and I'm really glad I saw it. I liked it better than some did. And I think maybe it's because I didn't see the original.
Yeah.
What was it, Finland?
A Man Called Ove.
Yes, Swedish or Finland?
Swedish.
Swedish, yeah. Okay.
And by the way, that is streaming on one of the streaming, I think it's Netflix, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Okay, you know, I've been having eye issues this week.
Love Puss in Boots.
Okay, so my son came over the other day. And I said, well, you know, he goes, geez, Dad, I wish your eye felt a little bit, and my eye's going to be fine. But anyway, and I said, yeah, it kind of looks. And he goes, do you know what it looks like? It looks like the Papa Bear in Puss in Boots.
That's right.
He was all jacked up.
Scarred.
And his eyes all scarred. And I thought,
wow. You know, your kids always say it right.
They always say it just right down the line.
And cut you so deep. It's just like,
so,
oh,
Puss
man.
In Boots. Both Steve and I really like this movie. I'll
tell you what, 113 domestic, 143. It's at $256 million.
Yeah. And then, you know, both of us have been raving about Megan. And again, it was so much more than I expected it to be. I mean, I'm not going to go see it 40 times. It's not going to be one of those movies that just reaches out and grabs me every time I'm surfing.
But, you know, there's something about Megan. She was not like, she was trying to take care of
that girl. She was trying to take care, and she was doing what she was programmed to do.
But then she had a little sinister edge.
But then when you add that artificial growth intelligence in there.
Oh, that's right.
Where all of a sudden, you're no longer in 100% control of this thing.
When she says, I thought we were better friends.
Yeah, exactly.
You know you're in trouble.
Okay.
So 62 domestic, 35 foreign. We're about to go over $100 million in 2 weeks for Megan.
That's huge. Avatar. The Way of Water.
Yeah, I can't believe the numbers.
Number one for 5 weeks. What are we, about $570 million?
$574, 1.354 foreign. It's about to go over $2 billion. And probably by midweek, it'll probably reach that number.
It is remarkable. It really is. Avatar, The Way of Water. And I still haven't seen it I've seen it on the big screen, but not the big screen. I saw it in a little town in Ogallala, Nebraska, at the Old Prairie Theater.
Yeah.
You know, the way you would have seen a movie in 1952. So, or 1932.
So the only time that Avatar hasn't been number one since it came out in mid-December was on January 6th. You know when number one was?
What was January 6th?
That was the day of infamy. But Megan.
Oh. Megan
was number one.
Oh, I forgot about that.
By
You're
only
right.
300,000, but it did beat Avatar.
Yeah, because when I think of January 6th, I think of something else.
But
yeah.
Even ever since then, Avatar has been back to number one.
Yeah, it truly is remarkable.
The Movie Show.
I'm sorry, Tony.
If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could. Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Steve, just a real quick wave off or warning or quick review of the son.
Hugh Jackman, Laura Dern, they have a son. He now has a new wife and a new baby, and the son is super depressed. Great acting throughout. They don't get the tone of this movie right. The whole idea is the dad's yelling at him all the time, and the kid's like in trouble. Like, the tone of this movie drove me crazy as far as respect for people who might be in a suicidal situation.
What's the grade?
A C. It is.
A C.
It is unfortunately disappointing.
Okay.
And it's, I just.
Our movie news at KSL News Radio.